Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch, and welcome. We're also at philhendryshow.com, the international, intergalactic, worldwide headquarters, the digital headquarters of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So we provide for you not just our radio show, we provide for you a radio show on our videocast, our webcast, which is Phil TV in HD, and we have more and more people enjoying it than ever before, and we certainly invite you to do the same. Tonight we'll have Chris Garvin. Mr. Garvin has written a book about it, and it's a very interesting book. It is a book that he wrote theorizing what America would have done, what America would be like, where, what decisions America would have made had Ron Paul been president in the 60s.
Why the 60s?
Because in the 60s, a lot of stuff happened, like Vietnam, civil rights.
Going to the moon.
The what?
Going to the moon.
Going to the moon, all kinds of stuff. And it's a fascinating book, so Mr. Garvin will be on to talk with us about that. I'm joined here by Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and of course we'll be taking a look at what else was happening in the world overnight. Yeah, I mean, it's not like a news talk show, but just when we say what happened in the world overnight, we generally mean what just happened between my ears overnight, which is about all that I can muster.
Well, you said that you have gone off your diet. Now, what is that?
Yeah.
No, I didn't go off my diet.
What are you going off your diet?
I didn't go off my diet. What happened was they just said, today it was one of those days I was starved, and I ate, and I ate, and I, and just keep in mind, folks, when I say that I ate more calories than I should have today, I wasn't eating, you know.
You like a pie. Were you eating a pie?
I didn't eat a pie, no.
But a chocolate cake or anything like that.
So you didn't glut on bad things?
No. When I say that I go over my calorie count for the day, I'm just overdoing it on the regular stuff that I eat.
What you do? You ate too much popcorn or something? Yeah, right.
Pretty much, yeah.
Phil, all you're eating is popcorn.
No. I eat... You know me. I'm eating salads, and I'm eating the lean Hebrew National hot dogs, and I'm eating those veggie burgers, and I'm eating bananas, you know, and protein powder and stuff like that. So that's really my diet. And just today, I went 1,000 calories. Oh, I was so hungry.
Well, that means you're not going to get fat or anything, right? But it still, you have to calm down. Tell me to calm down.
Well, you know, in that sense, Bud, he acts a little bit like you.
Listen, what I'm saying to you, Robert, is this. No, I'm not going to get fat. Tomorrow I got to go out and I got to hump off some of these calories, man.
What do you mean, hump off?
I'm going to go out and run, okay?
Well, that's a double entendre.
It can be taken.
Oh, I'm going to just, like, have sex all day, is that it? Boy, I'll tell you, I've got such an opportunity for that, too, don't I? Man, my life is just full of that, you know.
Well, Phil, I think that if you wanted to, you could just snap your fingers. I don't know what kind of, you know, I don't even want to talk about it, but...
Well, what is it, acting like you smelled something bad?
Well, we talk about a woman above the lady.
Yes, what kind of woman... Phil, I'm not criticizing you, but I don't think you'd have a problem if you wanted to...
Margaret.
Excuse me, I'm not done yet. If you wanted to... Well...
If I wanted to what?
You want to have a lady.
Yeah, if you wanted a lady.
Yeah, if I wanted a lady, what, to have sex with?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd have any problem. The problem that I have is what kind of... You know what I mean? It's just... Oh, God.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right, Margaret. I couldn't get much more than probably just some... tramp of the road, is that it?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Mr. Hendry.
What are you breathing so hard for?
Well,
what's the matter, man?
What if you got... Remember that lady?
He's thinking of Eileen Wuornos. Jesus.
Are you talking about the lady that killed those guys in Florida?
What if you did?
I guess I'd get shot. But I'm not that dumb. What are you, some kind of a nut... Yeah, I think I'd like to, have sex. I know, I'll drive down an interstate in Florida and just pick up the first chick I see who looks like she's been run through the...
Well, now, don't be unkind, Phil. Eileen, I saw her with makeup, and she's quite lovely.
Uh-huh.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, no comment.
Yeah, man.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I'm standing up for the rights of women. Eileen Mornos, even though she was a murderer and she did take the lives of innocent men, let's just put that aside for a moment. She was quite lovely.
She was not lovely. Are you blind?
I beg your pardon?
Are you blind? She was not lovely.
She would have been lovely, is what I meant to say.
Had what? Had she not been sexually abused, beat up, God knows what else happened to her? I think the kid, she was in a fire or something. How are we on this topic of Eileen Wuornos?
Because I think, well,
what, the two of us would have made a great pair?
I think in another place, in another time.
Me and Eileen Wuornos, is that what you're saying?
Are you nuts or something? You must be out of your... Oh.
Don't talk to me like that.
Don't swing on him just because you came up with a cornball idea like that.
I think you talk about a good book.
Oh, yeah, that'd make a great book. Who would write it? Probably her, because I'd be dead. Me and Eileen Wuornos? What? What drug are you taking? Well, we'll never know, will we?
No, but you know something, Phil? In another place and another time is what I'm saying.
Like I know what you mean, Ms. Gray. Like two ships are passed out in the night, you know?
Yeah.
No, not two ships passed out in the...
Not two ships passed out in the night. It's two ships passing in the night.
In the night, yeah. When it's dark.
Yeah, when it's dark.
Well, what's that mean?
What does it mean? Did they see each other?
I'm going to... See, bud, you know, you say you don't want it, but you act like you do. You say you don't want it, but you act like you do. That's the name of a song.
Yeah?
They're going to play it at your funeral. He seemed like he didn't want it, but he acted like he did, so he got it.
What's that? Sex or something?
You know what? I'm going to the...
Go to the bathroom, because you started your period. I know all about that.
That's none of your business.
You made it our business last night. Shut up, bud. So, in any event, so just remember that, folks, in another place, another time, ships passing in the night, a great item, me and Eileen Wuornos, we would have been a great couple. What? You must have some real respect for me.
I think you might have made an honest woman out of her.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. Ha ha! Me? Are you kidding? If there's one thing that I do, let me just say this and then we'll move on because we have Chris Garvin coming up and his book on Ron Paul. If there's one thing I know about me, if I meet a bad woman, I make her worse. In other words, if I meet a woman who is on the verge of criminal, of becoming a full-fledged criminal, by the time I'm done with her, man, she's a candidate for San Quentin. She's ready to go, man. She's ready to take over any armed gang, you know.
Well, it's not that bad.
It's not? It's not? Have you ever heard of enablers? You know, a lot of you guys are listening. You probably know what we mean when we talk about that because all these psychology shows. That's me. I'm an enabler. I'm a guy. I take care of people. I enable. That, you know, I learned all this crap when I was getting my head shrunk after years and years of all kinds of weird stuff. So, in other words, if I started dating and, God forbid, I married a woman who was already criminally prone, by the time we were done with our marriage, I'd probably be 6 feet under. Or maybe, you know.
Yeah, probably like five different suitcases.
Yeah, like Henry, the Portrait of the Killer.
Right, I'd be in five different suitcases all over the country, and she'd be on some mass murder spree.
Phil, the thing I was trying to say about you and Eileen Wuornos is I thought you might civilize her.
And what I'm telling you is no, I'm not going to. No, I wouldn't.
Well, she's dead now. No.
I'm not talking about that, Margaret. I'm simply saying... She would have been worse. Had she met me and married me, she would have slaughtered thousands.
She probably would have been Hitler or something.
Oh, would you get real?
Not too far off, I don't think. All right, Chris Garvin next. What would the country be like today had Ron Paul been president and Ron Paul, more to the point, Ron Paul's political philosophies and points of views and attorneys general... And all of those weird plural. Anyway, what would the country be like if Ron Paul had been president in the 60s? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back to answer that question, which nobody's been asking. So we've asked the question, and we're going to answer it right after this.
Truth is our
bitch. We're talking about Eileen Wuornos.
The Phil Hendry Show.
But I'm not going to explain it to you, you idiot. We'll be right back.
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. If you want to join us, you can join us watching a video cast of the show. Just go to philhenryshow.com and pick up a backstage pass and access thousands of hours of archived radio, going back over a decade, 5,000 hours of full radio shows, our radio show, and every day you have our video cast and the podcast of our show. And, of course, free, we have the Phil Henry podcast, which is about a 30-minute podcast we do daily, and the new Bobby Dooley podcast. And a reminder that, the Bobby Dooley podcast has dropped a new one today. Bobby and who is it, Margaret?
It is Sugar Ray Leonard, and I hear it is just wonderful. Bobby and Sugar Ray Leonard, the great boxing champion.
Yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard, the great former middleweight champion of the world, is Bobby's special guest this week on the podcast, the Bobby Dooley podcast. All right, coming up on the line here with us is Chris Garvin. Mr. Garvin is a political consultant and more recently a writer, the author of a book called Through the Eyes of Ron, An Alternate Reality. What would America be like if Ron Paul were president in the 60s? And Chris, Mr. Garvin, thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Mr. Henry.
Why the idea of a book about Ron Paul and one about him being president in the 1960s?
Well, the idea germinated with me when I was talking to one of the editors that... at the press we were working at, and Teldon Press, and also one of my friends who had been working with the people at the Spot Blog, which is a news blog and a political blog, and people were talking about Ron Paul in the same way that they talk about Ronald Reagan, which was the trajectory of the country and how the country might change or how the country might look had there been that kind of an influence. Ron Paul represents, for a lot of people, such a divergence and such a complete change of attitude and view in American politics that I thought it would be an interesting exercise to apply his ideas, his philosophies, to pivotal moments in American history, and to see what kind of a country we would have as the result. And I picked the 1960s because it is relatively recent, and so a great many of us remember the 1960s, and it's also a decade that was an explosive one. There's no question that it was a decade of milestones, great social change, attitudes toward the military, toward government, toward family. Social as well as political issues arose and were forever morphed in this country, sending the country down a different path, if you will. So all of this was going into my thinking when I started writing the book.
Give me an example of the book, of what you look at in the book.
All right. Well, what we do is we break down the major events and major issues of the day in the 1960s: civil rights, the race for space, the Vietnam War, some subcategories of civil rights, because when we address the issue of civil rights, we're basically talking about the issue of the rights of African Americans. But there were some subcategories that we also viewed, which was the topic of women's rights, as well as the rights of gay people, as well as the emerging issue of students' rights, free speech, and so forth. And we applied the Ron Paul philosophy to each of those.
Well, what is the Ron Paul for people who are, you know, because I don't want to get into a whole thing. Ron Paul is a very obviously he's a very intelligent man. He's looked at issues in very specific ways, monetary as well as social, as well as every other facet of American life. So I don't want to get into the you know, the specifics of how he would deal with, like, the Federal Reserve, you know?
No, and we don't either in the book. What we do in the book is we look at issues that can be grasped readily, front page kinds of things that we think people would understand. To give you an example, the race for space. In a Ron Paul presidency in the 1960s, I don't think you can argue with the supposition that a race for space, any kind of program, having to do with federal dollars being funneled into a space program was just not going to happen the way we saw it happen under a Kennedy, under a Johnson, and under a Nixon. Ron Paul was just not and would not commit dollars to something like that. So the race for space simply would not have happened. The Russians would have had that field to themselves. There is a very good chance.
Would we have not been in space at all?
I don't see a Ron Paul presidency supporting, and if he, of course, had a Congress that backed him up, but I don't even see a space program that's led exclusively by a Congress without the backing of a president ever really, if you'll pardon the pun, taking flight. I don't think it would have happened. So the Russians would have had that field all to themselves.
So there wouldn't have been a Mercury, a Gemini, nothing?
No, Ron Paul has stated over and over and over again that he is not going to waste the American people's money, and I think he would see something like that as a waste of money.
So let me just ask you this: what would have been the consequences?
Well, the consequences, we would have saved the money, but we also certainly would not have developed, for instance, the race for space and the going into outer space. Helped develop so many different things, inventions. I'll give you an example. The rechargeable battery was the result of a necessity that space flight and space missions presented. So we wouldn't have developed things like that. Would the Russians have? I don't know. Would some other nation have stepped into the breach and gone into space? Would it have been France, for instance, which already was aggressively testing nuclear weapons? Would it have been India, for instance, which was looking to break out a profile, an international profile of its own? Would it have been Israel? I don't. The Japanese? I don't know. But it wouldn't have been America.
So America would not have gone into space. We would not have developed certain things like rechargeable batteries.
No, we would not have had, in other words, that profile. The Russians would have. Is that good? Is that bad? I'll leave that decision to you.
All right, what about civil rights?
We looked very carefully at civil rights under a Ron Paul presidency. And Mr. Paul, or a President Paul, no question, personally, would be in favor, obviously, of the people having equal rights in this country. But being a not a federalist, but more of a states' rights president, and that would have put him more into court, sort of a James Buchanan camp in that sense, there would have been no real direct intervention. And so you would have seen the states working out this issue of civil rights. I don't know what would have happened if the lunch counter issue would have been solved in a way in which you would have had blacks allowed to eat at a segregated lunch counter that was increasingly had better service. I don't know. I think Ron Paul would have lent his weight to something like that, though.
And Ron Paul would have lent his weight to what? I mean, you're talking about either people have the right to sit at a lunch counter or not.
Well, I think Ron Paul, being, as I said, the non-intervention president, he would have, had he been president during the civil rights, he would have supported blacks sitting at a lunch counter, but he would not have pushed the point. He would have, in a letter of, and what you can do as president, you can send a letter of it, an advisory letter. Here's an idea. This is what I think you should do. It's none of my business, if you want to put it in very plain English, and said something like, why don't you keep the blacks separate, but increase make the service better, lower the prices. In other words, make it more, at Ron Paul being a capitalist at heart, you know, make it more economically beneficial for the black to sit at a lunch counter separate, you see.
So, yeah, but how do you do? I mean, in other words, I don't want to interfere with you guys, but you've got a social problem here. People are boycotting. They're not using your store. But you want to keep lunch counters separate. So here's my answer. You can improve the service to black people but still keep them separate. And what if people kept boycotting?
Well, then the businesses go out of business, you see. And then after the businesses went out of business, then they'd say, well, we've got to let the blacks sit at an integrated counter or we're going to have to get out of the department store business. Just get the hell out of the department store give it back over to the Northerners. Because obviously we don't know how to be in the department store business without having all hell breaking loose down here. And I think that's what you would have seen, Phil.
All right, Chris Garvin is with us, the author of Through Ron's Eyes, a look at a world, an America, in the 1960s had Ron Paul been president. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Is this interesting
Phil
or is it boring?
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And it is the world famous Phil Henry Show. On the phone with us here is Chris Garvin. His book, Through Ron's Eyes, Tracks an America, an Alternate Reality America, that he's writing about if Ron Paul were president of the United States. If Ron Paul was president in the 60s, and what would our country be like? Wow, that was, what happened there, bud?
That might have been, I don't know, maybe, you know, well, I don't be alternate reality or something.
Okay, fine. Chris... we also want to get some phone calls on the air, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Chris Garvin. So we were talking about civil rights. What would civil rights be like with Ron Paul?
Well, I think, Phil, in our book we mentioned that the civil rights fight in America in the 60s would definitely have been one that would be supported individually by Ron Paul, but as a president, there would be very little he would feel he could do because he is someone who's loath to involve the federal powers, per se, in state issues that he, you know, and he would perceive that as a state's rights issue. So I think you'd have ideas, letters of advisement from the president saying, have you tried this, have you tried that? Now, I know that what I said about can you improve the service and lower the prices at a segregated counter, and it may be a bad idea. But ultimately what happens is the boycott takes place, no one goes to the store, and then the department store goes out and tries to get more white customers to make up for the black customers that aren't going there, you see? And so they go out and double their ads in white areas and put on specials that would appeal to the white and sell things that would appeal to the white because they know that the black is not going to shop there. Now, what that does is it eliminates the need for a segregated lunch counter or to have any black customer services. You get all the whites coming to your store.
Well, where were the whites shopping before?
Well, again, where they were shopping, I'm just talking about in Ron Paul's mind what would work.
No, I understand that. So in Ron Paul's mind, let the economic forces take place. The black people boycott the stores. The stores go out and get more whites. That's not what happened, though.
Well, that's not what happened because the federal government got involved when the black boycott took place and there were no blacks, and the stores panicked and said, "We better just get rid of that segregated lunch counter. Let's install new drinking fountains. Let's install new toilets. Make the whole thing more conducive to equal integration because we don't know what the federals are going to do." So they were running scared, you see. And
well, isn't that better?
That's not my job. My book simply is to give you an idea of what the country would be like under a Ron Paul presidency.
So under a Ron Paul presidency, there would have been more advertising for white customers.
Yeah, the department stores, having been boycotted, would look for more whites. The whites then would come in from the outer areas where they were shopping, and they would be induced to come to the central urban areas to shop because they were hanging on the edges of the third and fourth ring suburbs doing their shopping in the new strip malls that were coming up. That would eliminate strip malls. More whites would be downtown. And you would have a distinctly white downtown.
Now, where are the black people?
The black people would move. They'd move to the north. And so, ultimately, under a Ron Paul presidency, you would have the southern states mostly white, the northern states mostly black, and the western states would be black, white, you know, a sprinkling of everyone. That's what it would look like.
All right, we're talking to Chris Garvin. Let's go to a phone call here. Robert Green from Buena Park. Bob, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing very good. I'm listening to this gentleman talking, and I'm doing a little late night cleaning up here in the store. And your name is Garvin, right?
Yes, it's Chris Garvin, sir.
My name is Bob Green. I'm the CEO of Fraser Foods here in Buena Park, California. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I'm afraid I have not. I'm not a Californian, by the way.
Oh, really? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Birmingham, Alabama, but I live in Washington, D.C. now.
All right. So you grew up with you grew up white?
Yes, I'm white and grew up white.
All right. So you had you lived in that society, right?
I did. I lived in a segregated society, and it wasn't anything that I liked, but I didn't have much say in it. I was only, at the time, 6 months old, and then my parents took me and my sister, and they moved to Washington, D.C.
Well, what you're saying here is, first of all, I got to tell you, and I don't mean any offense, this is a really boring interview you're doing here, Phil. I'm sorry to...
Well, in what way?
Well, the gentleman, I thought it would be interesting to hear about what Ron Paul...
Well, what would make it better? I always believe in being proactive.
Well, what would make it better is if you just said some stuff that was interesting. You know, what you're saying is...
Well, what isn't interesting about it?
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, he's saying, here's the way the country would be with Ron Paul as president. Are you sure you wrote a book?
Yes, I wrote a book. It's not a very good book, maybe. Maybe you don't think it's a good book. Maybe a lot of people wouldn't think it's a good book. Maybe I wouldn't think it's a good book had I not written it.
Well, what kind of research? In other words, the stuff you're saying here, is this what's in your book?
A lot of what I'm saying here is not in the book. I'm trying to improve what's in... I'm improving on it by talking more interesting about it. Because what's in the book, I'll admit to you, is not all that good. So I said, well, maybe the whites would take over. In the book, I said the stores would close down and it would cause integration. But I thought that sounded too namby-pamby, you know?
Well, yeah, but doesn't that make sense?
No, I don't know, but I had to say... So I, on the show here with Mr. Henry, I said that maybe there'd be a full takeover by whites.
Well, that doesn't sound any more interesting than anything else, you know. And so, all right, so Ron Paul doesn't believe in outer space. All right, big deal. I mean, how would that make the country different?
That's a good question. How would that make America different today?
Well, Phil, before you answer, Mr. Garvin. Mr. Garvin?
Yes, I'm right here.
Before you answer, Phil, I don't know that you're in any position to start, you know, hey, how would that... I'm here trying to improve this. You know?
Well, so your point is what?
You're doing a bad job interviewing this guy.
Well, all right. I thank you very much.
Oh, okay, so you're going to hang up on me.
Well, no, I would like to hear what... Go ahead, ask me the question.
All right, go ahead, ask the question. Did you come on here to insult me, or, you know?
No, I didn't come on here to insult you. I came on here to try to get... to try to be interested in what you're doing, otherwise... I don't want to have anything. There's a lot of stuff on TV, you know. And
well, you know what? You can go watch that if you want to.
You're right. I could. But instead, I called up a guy that I respect by the name of Phil Henry, and I'm trying to save his show tonight. So, Garvin, is that your name? Garvin, right?
Yeah, Chris Garvin.
Give me something, anything. Give me a reason to keep listening to the Phil Henry show tonight.
That's, you know something, that's just you calling up trying to insult me, that's all.
No, it is not. There's a lot of people out there. Ask your crew.
All right, I will. Margaret? Okay, so you agree with him, huh?
Well, I agree that it could be a stronger segment. I do.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, I think this is my fault, too.
No, it's not your fault. I should ask, as Bob said, some better questions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You need to ask better questions and make what comes out more. In other words, if you ask the better questions, what comes out of this guy is going to be interesting, and then people will say, oh, I want to listen to this, and they won't say what they're saying now, which is, I need to get onto another radio station because this sucks, you know.
Well, Phil, I think it's my fault. Let me just say this. If Ron Paul were president of the United States in the 1960s, geez, that's a tough one.
You wrote a book about it, sir. You wrote a book about it, okay?
No, you're right. Yeah, you wrote a book about it, so what do you mean that's a tough one? I'm trying to improve on what I had in the book.
Well, what did you have in the book?
What I told you.
In other words, what you had in the book was if the black... What? What did you have in the book?
About what?
About the civil rights.
In the book, I said if the blacks boycotted the stores, then the stores would close down, and a lot of in either the towns would be ghost towns, or they'd have new stores that were integrated.
And you changed that here on the show to...
You changed it on the show to say that it would all be white stores.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You don't think... Listen, I can tell you, I don't have an ego about these things. If you think the book needs to be better, Phil, what I can do is go back to the galleys and write better, and also write more interesting and better stuff, and give it back to my publisher, and have it republished, and we'll pull everything off of the shelves as it is, and I'd be back on your show, say, 6 months, Phil. Does that sound good?
I don't know, Chris. I mean, you know...
Well, Phil's being polite. No, that doesn't sound good. I don't think Phil should have you back on the show, because you're not a very good writer. You're not a very good... Nothing that you do is good. You don't talk good.
Well, I haven't done a lot of these.
Well, you may not have... You don't talk good. You don't... There's a lot of stuff that you just don't do, man. And so...
And by the way, I've got a message here. We've had a technical message that I have to update. Can we take a break right now?
Well, I don't know. I want to stay on the line here and talk a little bit with...
Okay, that's fine, Bob. Hold on. We'll be right back. We have a technical... A lot of you guys are not getting the iOS stream tonight, I understand. We are looking into that. Stick around, and we will... tell you what we have found out. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And the only thing I said to Mr. Henry...
All right, hold on, guys. We're back on the line here with Chris Garvin and Robert Green. I apologize to you, Chris, and to you, Bob, because we've got a technical issue with our iOS customers tonight not getting the stream on their iPhones.
What I was saying to Chris is that you have a lot to do, and you've got a big job to do, Phil. And when he comes on your program and he's got a book that he wrote that he didn't write good...
Well, I'm not saying I didn't do my best.
No, I know you didn't do your best. I know you did do your best, but you didn't do what your best is. As I like to say in my business, your best ain't, it ain't squat, if I could use that word.
I understand.
And I know you're a writer and you're a political consultant. Is that what you do?
Yes, sir.
Well, you ought to go back to doing that, because you couldn't write your way out of a wet paper sack. From what you're telling me.
Well, I mean, I think we need to be fair to Chris. He came on. It's a lofty, it's an ambitious project to sort of enter this alternate reality.
Well, don't baby talk the guy, okay? Talk straight to him. He's a man,
I'm talking straight to him. I'm saying it's a very difficult job, though,
Well, let me just say this. If I let you guys down tonight, I'm sorry. I wrote a book called Through the Eyes of Ron.
And hold on. That's another thing. That title is... And to use the word that the kids use, and I don't mean any offense to our the gay people that are listening, but I'm saying it's as gay,
And what do you mean gay?
I mean it's stupid. Through the Eyes of Ron. It sounds like a romance novel or something. Am I right, Phil?
Well, I don't have any issue with the title. The issue that I have is with the content,
Yeah, well, let's get back to that. So you write a book, and what would happen if Ron Paul was president and there was a space, and we didn't go into outer space? And basically what you said was, not much. The Russians might go to the moon and they might not, but other than that, nothing would happen. Oh, we wouldn't have rechargeable batteries. Is that it?
Well, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. Your book blows it, you know.
All right, look, we don't have to talk, you know.
Go ahead, hit me with it. I this is the only way I'm going to learn. The book just blows up. It blows a whole petting zoo. Every animal in it. Phil, wouldn't you agree?
I'm not going to characterize things that way, thank you, Bob.
You wouldn't agree with that.
I'm not going to characterize things like that, okay?
Margaret, how about you?
Well, I agree with Phil. I think that's a little rough to say it blows a petting zoo. Is that what you said?
Yes, because I want this man to understand how much he has destroyed this segment of the Phil Henry Show.
Well, I certainly know what you mean when you say it blows a petting zoo, because I've got an 8-year-old daughter, but and I would never use that language around her, but I've been to petting zoos.
Well, that's my point, yeah.
And if you're saying an entire petting zoo, then it's a bad book.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a bad book. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't buy your book, and I wouldn't have you on as a guest again, and I think if Phil does, then he's almost as dumb as you.
All right, Bob, I think we've insulted Mr. Garvin about enough.
Well, my intention was not to insult him. My intention was to come on your program and say, would you please put something on your show tonight that I can actually listen to? Otherwise, I got to go somewhere and do something, man, because my time's too valuable than to listen to this guy.
You know something, Bob? I don't think any of this is really necessary. If you didn't like it, you didn't have to call in.
If I didn't like it, I didn't have to. No, you're right. I could just let Phil die. Just sit there and lay the biggest egg in the history of radio.
Not the biggest egg.
Just sit there and lay one of the biggest eggs in the history of radio, and I wouldn't do anything. What kind of friend would that make me?
Well, again, I'm culpable.
All right, we picked over how bad this interview has been. Anything else?
Yeah, well, got it. Hang up on a guy.
I agree with what's his name there. Yeah, you ought to hang up on him.
I'm not hanging up on anybody, okay?
Well, all right, well, you want me to...
I want you to get... Yeah, you can hang up.
Well?
I'm not hanging up on this man, Mr. Garvin. Are you there, sir?
Yes, well, I'm right here.
Okay, I'm not hanging up on you. I appreciate you being on the show. I will say good evening to you.
Right, but what about my idea of coming back on your program later?
You know something? Just why don't you write us a letter or have your publicist write us a letter, okay? You've got a very good publicist. They're a New York public relations firm, right?
Yes, they are.
So, and the glossy cover on the book, I mean, they put a lot of money into this.
Yes, they did. It's a reputable publisher. So somewhere between, being signed by this company and me actually writing the book, something went wrong.
I would say so, because you've got a beautiful glossy cover. You've got a reputable public relations outfit. It says future New York Times bestseller on the cover. What is that about?
Well, we figured that we could say that. It's not yet.
All right. Anyway, thank you very much. Through the eyes of Ron.
Well, don't even bother promoting it, because I'm going to have it pulled and I'm going to go back and rework some of these galleys. I think I've benefited greatly.
Yes, sir.
From being on your program.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, Phil.
So that was Chris Garvin on the show. He wrote a book, and not very well, called Through the Eyes of Ron, about what the country would be like. I don't know.
Well, I don't think there's any need to go over what the book is about, because no one's going to read it, because even he says it's unreadable, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, can people still buy it?
No, you're going to have them pulled off the shelf. Didn't you hear him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard him. He said there's not going to be any... Okay.
No, he's having every issue recalled. He's going to rewrite... He said write it better.
And then put it out.
Yes, I guess.
You want me to book him for June or something?
No, I don't want you to book him at all. I don't want you to book him at all. I don't trust anything that the guy does. And I sure as hell don't need Bob Green calling in and telling me how rotten... You know what I'm going to do, Bob, if you're listening? I think I'm going to come into your store, and I'm going to go into that aisle where, what is it, the international and the... you know those international foods that you have and the delicacies and so forth, the health foods, and you play the Chinese national anthem when the guy comes in to restock? I think I'm going to come in and tell everybody about that. So you look like a real bag of you-know-what, because I'm telling you...
What does he do?
Bob Green is about the most racist. This guy, every time he has his Chinese food restocked at 5 a.m. or whenever the guy...
Oh, man.
Yeah, but you think it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. I got to tell you that. Every time he has his international food section restocked by the Chinese food company or whoever, he plays the Chinese national anthem.
Well, why does he do that?
Yeah, on account it keeps good relations with the Chinese.
Yeah, he thinks it keeps good relations with his Chinese food supplier.
By playing the Chinese national anthem.
Yes, yes. So at five, just imagine a store that's not open yet. You know how when you go, have you ever driven by the supermarket? I'm sure you have, we all have. When it's not open yet, but you see all the workers in there and they're stocking shelves or this and that. So the only cars in the parking lot are there, the supermarket workers. And you look inside and you maybe see some of the vendors and some of the people they do business with. Well, that's when Bob plays the Chinese national anthem in the store on the PA. So the guy stocking the Egg Foo Young, you know.
Egg Foo Young is not Chinese. I think that's a made-up American Chinese dish.
Well, whatever, the chow mein or something.
That's racist, too.
What do you mean it's racist, too? Chow mein?
I think that's not racism.
Oh, horse dung. We're going to be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show next hour with more news and views, and we'll keep an eye on the iOS feed tonight for you guys using your iPhone, and we'll get to the bottom of this.
Phil Henry.
And Chris Garvin will never be back on our show.